So I'm really excited for my dinner tonight. I'm making rosemary cider chicken with roasted apples and butternut squash. Yummy. But in all honesty, I really don't know how to make that. So it's a good thing I have Home Chef. Home Chef delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients with step-by-step recipe cards right to your door. Not only do you learn how to cook an awesome meal, you save both time and money by not having to go to the grocery store and get more ingredients than you need. And because Home Chef has agreed to sponsor Court Junkie, you can now all get $30 off your first order by going to homechef.com/courtjunkie. That's homechef.com/courtjunkie. Hi, I'm Jillian, and welcome to episode 8 of the Court Junkie podcast. First, as always, I'd like to thank all of you for your support. Those of you who listen, subscribe, share, review, and donate, your support is awesome, and it really means the world to me. And today, I want to especially thank my Patreon supporters. I have some fun stuff coming up for you guys, including early access to my Court Junkie briefs, along with exclusive interviews with my sources. To become a patron and donate as little as $1 a month, simply go to patreon.com/courtjunkie. Today, I'm going to cover an extremely popular case that got a lot of mainstream media attention, and yet a lot of people I've talked to haven't heard about it. I'm going to cover this case in two parts because, as you'll hear, there's a lot of relevant audio clips that I want to include, but I don't want them to take up the entire episode. The good news is that I'll be releasing part two shortly after part one, so you won't have to wait too long to get to the conclusion. The case I'm going to cover is the murder of Sherry Rae Rasmussen and the trial of the person accused of killing her, someone whose job was to serve and protect, not to kill. This case is interesting for a variety of reasons, but what I'm about to tell you might just be the biggest. You see, for more than 2 decades, Sherry's murder went unsolved. The initial LAPD investigators working the case were convinced that it was a burglary gone wrong, but no one had ever been arrested. Until one day, a cold case unit started reinvestigating the case, and because of advances in forensic science, they were able to test the evidence from the scene. And what they found was terrifying. The killer had potentially been right in front of them, harboring a deep, dark secret the entire time. It looked like the killer was one of their own. 1986 was the year of the movie Top Gun. Bruce Springsteen was topping the pop music charts, and Murder, She Wrote was popular on TV. But it was also the year of a murder that took place in Van Nuys, California, a murder that would go unsolved for the next 23 years. That is, until 2009, when an arrest was finally made. In 2009, 49-year-old Stephanie Lazarus was working as an investigator for the LAPD. She was in charge of art forgeries and thefts. She was a decorated 25-year veteran and was married to a fellow police officer, and together they had a young adopted daughter. On Friday, June 5th, 2009, Stephanie was at work at the LAPD headquarters in the third-floor art theft detail unit, like any other normal day, when she was approached by 2 detectives from the robbery homicide division. They told her that they had somebody in custody who claimed to have information about one of her art theft cases and that they needed her help. She obliged and followed them to the Parker Center's jail division, which was located on the bottom floor of the building. When they got down there, Stephanie grew confused. The detectives, Greg Stearns and Dan Jaramillo, led her into an interrogation room and, instead of leading her to the supposed art thief, they sat her down and began asking her questions. Questions about her life and questions about people she knew from over 20 years ago.
We've been assigned a case that we've been looking at.
Okay.
It's a new case, and reviewing the case, there's some notes to see as far as your name being mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Do you know John Rutten?
John Rutten? John Rutten?
Rutten.
Right. Oh, yeah, I went to school with him.
You did?
Yeah.
How long did you know him?
Gosh, I went to school in, let's see, went to UCLA in 1978. I started and, you know, met him at school at the dorms.
Mm-hmm. Were you guys friends, close friends?
Yeah, we're very close friends. I mean, what's this all about?
Well, it's regarding, it's a case we're working on, and it involves John, and in there, some of the statements we reviewed, you know, there's notes and stuff that he knew you and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we good friends, lived in the dorms for, I lived in the dorms for 2 years.
You guys lived in the same dorm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dykstra.
Okay, were you guys just friends or anything else, or?
Yeah, we were good friends.
Yeah. Was there ever any relationship or anything that developed between you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we dated, you know, I mean, what's this all about?
Well, it's relating to his wife.
Okay.
Did you know her?
Not really. I mean, I knew that he got married years ago.
Uh-huh. Did you ever meet her?
God, I don't know.
Do you know who she was or anything?
Well, let me think. God, it's been a long time ago. I may have met her. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, let me see. Let me ask you. You said you dated John. How long did you guys date?
I mean, well, are you guys? Is this something? You said I was going to interview somebody about art and how you guys are.
Here's
I mean,
Stephanie. Here's the situation. It's basically we knew that this when we saw this in this chrono that maybe, you know, there was some relationship there. That's what the chrono seemed to indicate, and we didn't want to come up to you at your desk and ask those kinds of questions or do anything. You know how up there people can see what's going on if you go into an interview room or people are in there getting supplies.
Okay.
So we wanted to afford you some privacy, some confidentiality to talk about this because we thought it might be, you know, you're married to someone else, obviously, and so forth, and that you may not want to talk about these things in that setting where someone, you know, we don't want the rumor mill or gossip or any of that kind of stuff
to start. That's fine. I mean,
so we did this just as a means to try and speak to you in just a confidential place where your business isn't out there for other people your division to know about.
You know, God, that's been a million years ago. I mean, what year is it now? 2009? I mean, I graduated in 82. 82, yeah. I dated other guys. I'm sure he dated other girls.
Well, let me ask you, roughly, how long would you say you guys dated?
Oh, jeez. I couldn't even say. I mean, I started school there in 78. Mm-hmm. I started UCLA in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated in 82. I don't even remember what year he graduated, if it was a year or two before me.
Okay.
I think he was a little bit older than I was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I can't remember if he was born, let's say I'm born in 1960. I don't know if he was born in 58 or 59. I knew his parents. I knew his sister. His brother went to Northridge. Sister spent the night at my house before. Obviously, I spent the night at his house before. He probably spent the night at my house before.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, because from what you're telling me, you guys dated while you were in college together, right?
Yeah, and probably after college. I can't. Geez, trying to think when I met my husband. I met my husband because I met Scott when I was teaching deer up in Oregon. But we had long stopped dating before that.
So you haven't talked to him for a long time?
Oh, I think I haven't talked to him in a long time. I couldn't even tell you when the last time I talked to him. I got married in 1996. I think I met Scott in 92. Prior to that, I couldn't tell you how long I had talked to John prior to that.
But since you met your husband, Scott, you haven't talked to him?
I mean, he may have called me once or twice before we got married.
Right.
What's this all about? I mean...
Well, let me ask you. What ended the relationship between you and John?
It was kind of a weird relationship. I mean, we dated. I can't say that he was my boyfriend. I don't know that he would consider me his girlfriend. We dated. We did things. I played sports in college. He played basketball. His brother played basketball. We just didn't work out. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It was like, I went out with other guys. So I went on lots of vacations.
And once you guys split, were you guys still friends or kind of, you know, problems?
I mean,
is it friendly, not friendly?
No, I don't think it was not friendly. I mean, we were friendly. I know that we went to Hawaii at one point. Another friend of mine who's actually dying right now went to Hawaii with us at some point.
remember roughly when that was?
I have to check my pictures. I'd say I'd ask Greg, but my friend Greg is like dying of liver cancer right now. Yeah, I mean,
And you were saying that
it's 2009 now.
Had you ever met his wife?
I may have.
Do you remember her name or anything, or what she did for a living, or where she worked, or anything about her?
Well, I think she. I think she was a nurse. I mean, I can't remember how he said he met her. I mean, it's been so long ago.
Well, let me ask you, did you go to their wedding,
No, I didn't go to their wedding. I couldn't even tell you what year he got married. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a million years ago. I don't understand why you're talking about some guy I dated a million years ago.
Well, do you know what happened to his wife?
Yeah, I know she got killed.
The man the detectives were talking about was Stephanie's former lover from back in the 1980s. His name was John Rutten, and they had met while they were both in college and living in the same dorm at UCLA. They had dated on and off for a while, but eventually John met somebody else, a woman named Sherry Ray Rasmussen. John fell in love with Sherry, and they soon became engaged, and then shortly after that, they got married. But only 4 months after their wedding, Sherry was murdered. In February 1986, Sherry Ray Rasmussen was 29 years old and living in a town home in Van Nuys, California, with her newlywed husband, John. She had gotten her master's degree in nursing from UCLA and was working as head nurse of the coronary care unit at Glendale Adventist Hospital. John worked as an engineer at a company called Micropolis, a disk drive manufacturer. By all accounts, the couple was young, happy, and in love. On the morning of February 24th, 1986, John left for work as he normally did. Sherry had decided to stay home that day because she wasn't feeling well. At 6 p.m., John returned home from work, but he came home to a very odd scene. There was glass in the driveway, their garage door was open, and Sherry's BMW was gone. John parked his car and entered the house through the garage and up the stairwell. When John reached the top of the stairs, he found the door slightly open, and their stereo equipment that was normally in the living room was stacked by the door. In the living room, one of the drawers from a living room table had been pulled out, and everything inside it was dumped out onto the floor. Some of the shelves in their entertainment center were collapsed, and a stereo speaker was on the floor, along with a broken porcelain vase. And then there was Sherry, his new wife, lying on the floor in her bathrobe and nightshirt. She was dead and had been beaten and shot. When investigators got to the scene, they saw a distraught husband. John was so hysterical that he could barely speak. They went inside the home and saw evidence of an intense struggle. Sherry had been almost 6 feet tall and was in great shape. It appeared to the investigators that she had put up quite a fight. In addition to the empty drawer, the collapsed shelves, and broken vase in the living room, there was blood splatter on some of the walls, the floor, and on a closet door. There were bloody fingerprints and palm prints, along with two broken fingernails that were found on the floor. And a white cord with blood on it was found near the stereo equipment by the door to the garage. The investigators told John that it looked like it was likely a burglary gone wrong. 2 days later, the autopsy report came out. Sherry had been shot 3 times in the chest, each one a fatal wound. One of the wounds was a contact wound, meaning somebody held the gun right up to her and shot. Sherry also had other injuries to her body. She had abrasions around both of her wrists, consistent with the pattern from a rope or a cord. She had contusions around her right eye, right ear, and on her scalp. She had a laceration on the inside of her upper lip and abrasions on her chin. The time of death was unknown, and there was no evidence of a sexual assault. And perhaps the most important injury, one that would change the trajectory of the case 23 years later, there was a bite mark on her inner left forearm. Her killer had bitten her. 10 days after the murder, on March 7th, 1986, investigators found Sherry's BMW. It was abandoned on a street in Van Nuys, about 2.5 miles away from where John and Sherry lived. The keys were in the ignition, and nothing had been stolen or stripped from the car. The LAPD officers handling the investigation, Detectives Lyle Mayer and Stephen Hooks, cleared John as a suspect and concluded that it was, in fact, a burglary gone wrong, that two suspects likely entered through an unlocked front door, and that Sherry surprised them when she interrupted them, leading to a violent struggle over the gun. The suspects then stole Sherry's car. The officers didn't come up with that scenario out of nowhere. In addition to the stereo equipment being stacked by the door, there was something else that pointed to a botched burglary. There had been another burglary in the neighborhood, just 3 blocks away, 2 months after Sherry's death. It was believed that two intruders broke into that home and nearly killed a woman who had interrupted them. Police suspected the two cases were connected. Sherry's parents put up a $10,000 reward for the arrest and conviction of the two men. But then the case went cold. No leads, no more investigations, nothing. Sherry's family wouldn't be getting answers for a very long time. Not until 2004, at least, when an LAPD criminalist requested a DNA analysis on the bite mark swab from the bite on Sherry's arm. The results that came back were interesting, to say the least. The DNA found on the bite mark swab was that of a female's, meaning Sherry's killer was likely a female. The criminalist sent the info on to the cold case unit. In February 2009, the cold case unit was going through Sherry's file, and they noticed that the DNA analysis that determined that the bite mark was from a female didn't match the original burglary gone wrong theory. So who was this mysterious female killer? They decided to reinvestigate the case further. They started looking into who may have wanted Sherry dead. They came across the original police report that noted that a woman named Stephanie Lazarus was John's ex-girlfriend. The notation had a PO next to it, meaning that she had been a police officer. They then learned that this Stephanie had gotten into a confrontation with Sherry at Sherry's workplace. They contacted John and told him that they were reinvestigating the case. In light of the new DNA evidence, they asked him if he knew of any women who would have wanted to harm Sherry. John gave them Stephanie's name. They learned that Stephanie was currently still employed as an officer with the LAPD. In fact, she worked in the same building as they did. And this must have been quite a bombshell for these detectives. What was turning out to be the main suspect in the case was one of their own. Not just a police officer, but an LAPD officer. Someone who worked in the very same building as them. Weeks prior to interviewing Stephanie, an LAPD surveillance team tailed her and her daughter one day as they were leaving a Costco. They saw Stephanie throw a cup she had been drinking into a trash can, and so they retrieved it and tested it against the DNA from the bite mark. And sure enough, it was a match. So now we go back to that police interview with Stephanie from June 5th, 2009, in that interrogation room in the LAPD jail center. As you're listening, remember that the detectives have already determined that the DNA from the bite mark is a match. And they saw in the police reports from 1986 that she had gotten into a confrontation with Sherry at Sherry's workplace.
You know, I don't understand why you're talking about some guy I dated a million years ago.
Well, do you know what happened to his wife?
Yeah, I know she got killed.
What did you hear about that?
I saw a poster at work. I'm sure I spoke to him about it. I think I spoke to another friend of his about it.
And how did you first learn about that?
Jeez. Someone could have called me. I could have heard it at work. I think at one point there may have been a flyer or something. I know a good friend of his...
Were you on the job back then when that happened?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm sure I was on the job. That's why I would have heard about it with the flyer. You know, I don't remember how I heard. I mean, I don't even remember what year it was.
You said you thought his wife was a nurse. Do you have any idea where she was working at the time, or did he ever mention that to you? Was it a hospital or a doctor's office?
I'm sure he must have mentioned it. Now that you're bringing that up, I think she worked at a hospital somewhere. And yeah, I may have met her at a hospital. I may have talked to her once or twice.
At a hospital?
Or more, you know.
But being that you're kind of used to see John, you know, was it everything okay between you guys? I mean, there was never anything uncomfortable or anything between you and her?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's been so many years. I mean, I can't even remember if we had a conversation. I mean, we may have. I may have seen her. Geez, how many years ago is that? I don't even know what year she got killed.
Where was his apartment?
On Roscoe.
Okay.
Yeah, Roscoe and either east or west of DeSoto.
Do you know where he moved after? Did he move after he got married, or do you know? Or
I'm sure he did.
Did you know where he was living, or
somewhere in the valley?
Did you ever visit him and his wife?
No.
No, never
no.
Went out to, you know, get together, dinners, anything
no,
of that nature.
No. I don't think we ever socialized. You know, he'd still call me. I can't say that I would. I mean, if he's married, I don't know that I would have called him. I mean, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. It's been a million years ago.
How long was John married before his wife died?
I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea.
After his wife died, did you talk to him again or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I did talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him, probably his parents, probably some other friends. I'm sure I talked to him.
Yeah.
But you're not sure where he moved to after he got married?
No idea. I mean,
never went over to visit him or
I don't think.
Meet
I mean, I don't
or,
think so. I don't know. I don't think I did.
After John's wife died, you said you may have been talking to him. Did your relationship start up again?
I would say no. Again, can you give me a year? I mean, this is like 2009.
She died in 1986.
Okay. Like I said, I'm faintly remembering that I went to Hawaii with my friend Greg. Greg and I got certified for scuba diving. And I'm thinking that John met us there, meaning Greg and I.
That was something you guys kind of planned together, like go as a group, or you ran into him? Or?
No, I think that, obviously I must have talked to him. And I said, hey, I'm going to Hawaii with my buddy Greg. We just got certified scuba diving. We're going to be in Hawaii. Hey, if you want to come and join us, come join us.
Right.
And I think that's what it was.
I mean, when you heard about John's wife being killed, I mean, what was your reaction? You thought you heard about it, what, through a friend or in a bulletin or
either
something?
Either a friend or a bulletin. I called the family. I called maybe some of his friends that I knew. And, I mean, obviously it shocked you. If I heard it at work, which I may have, I faintly remember a bulletin going around. Either that or somebody called me. I don't remember.
Right.
And then I probably called his family, I can't say if I initially spoke to him or not. I honestly don't remember. I may have said to somebody, hey, have him call me if he wants to talk. And then he may have done that.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what the circumstances were regarding her death?
Jeez, let me think back. I don't know if it was, you know, if it was a burglary or something. It's been so many years. I mean, I can faintly think that I may have saw a flyer.
Yeah.
May have had her picture on it. You know, that's why I say, if somebody had called me, I may not have known what her last name was. I may have, I mean, maybe if you told me, I would remember it.
Do you remember
you
the
know.
First name?
Shelley, Sherry, I don't know, something maybe, you know, like I said, it's been so many years. And
if indeed Stephanie is Sherry's killer, she would certainly remember Sherry's name as well as the circumstances surrounding her death. So is she acting here, or is she really trying to recall the events from 20 plus years ago?
From all the years, as far as you can remember, do you remember ever talking to her? Just
well, as you say, I said earlier, you know, I mean, I may have, you know, I may have talked to her. It sound I you know...
You mentioned a hospital, maybe. You may have talked to her at a hospital.
Yeah, I may have... You know, I'm thinking back now, you guys are bringing up all these old memories.
No, it kind of dusts off the cobwebs.
You know, I mean, geez. I'm thinking that... Because, I mean, we would date. He would date other people. I would date other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at one point, I mean, he may have been dating her... Or, I don't know, maybe he was married. I don't even remember. And I'm like, you know what? Why are you calling me if you're either dating her or living with her or married to her? Because I honestly don't remember the time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, come on, knock it off. And I'm thinking, I may have gone to her and say, hey, you know what? You know what? Is he dating you? He's bothering me. And so I'm thinking that we had a conversation about that. One or two, maybe. It could have been three. I don't want to say I had three conversations with her.
At her work or at their house or?
No, I'm thinking that he obviously must have told me where she worked. I'm thinking it was a hospital somewhere in L.A. That could have been, again, what year was that? Where was I working? You know, I don't, I'm trying to think of where, when did you say they got married?
I don't know. I think it was like in 85 or 86 or something like that. We just kind of picked this up. We don't know a lot about it.
I mean, I could have been working in Hollywood, it sounds like, if that's where I was working. So I could have said, okay, well, you know, and I went and talked to her and just said, hey, you know what? If he's dating you, he keeps calling me. Why don't you tell him to knock it off or whatever? And, you know, because I probably would have told him to knock it off.
You would have told John.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would have said, hey, you know... And again,
but you wanted to tell her too. You wanted them both to know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're getting called, and I'm faintly remembering, Scott moved in with me in 1993, and so I faintly recall that John may have called a few times, and I'm like, hey, no, I can't talk. I've got, you know, I'm living with somebody.
Right.
And that could have been a few times. It could have been once. Could have been twice. Could have been three times. Yeah, I don't know. You know.
And when you say that you may have talked to his wife, said, hey, or you know. I don't know if it was, I guess it wasn't his wife at that time, girlfriend or whatever. And
yeah, so, I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend.
Right.
Honestly, I don't even remember.
When you said, like, hey, you know, he's calling me, he needs to knock it off or what have you, I mean, was that civil?
There was not, I don't think there was anything. It was a few minutes, so I can't even remember. And what is it like, you know, we went out to lunch or anything.
Right, but there was no, like, arguments or fights or it didn't get heated or anything like that.
Not that I recall, no. I mean, I would think that would stand out, I would think. Now, again, that's not standing out in my mind.
So you didn't have any problems with her then?
No.
You didn't have any issues with her?
No, I mean...
But let me ask you. It seems like you didn't have any issue. Now, did she have an issue with you as far as...
Oh.
Because now you're telling her, hey, you know, tell him to stop calling. Now, you know, she's like, hey. You know, you figure she'd be threatened by you.
You know, I don't know. I mean...
From what you remember as far as when you talked to her, maybe you didn't take it as serious, but maybe, you know, did she... She was bugging.
You mean, like, was she throwing things at me or something? Or,
well, no, just,
you know.
As far as you're trying to explain, like, hey, have him stop calling me, you know, stop playing games.
You know, I couldn't even tell you how long the conversation, if you said, did it last a half an hour? Did it last 3 minutes? Did it last 20 minutes? I can't even remember. It's been so long ago, you know.
You just remember talking to her, telling
her. Yeah, and that's why you said, how many times you talked to her? I don't know how many times I've talked to her. Maybe it was once, maybe it was twice, maybe it was three times. You know, I honestly don't know.
Now, we know for sure that Stephanie went to Sherry's work at the hospital at some point and confronted her. And Stephanie keeps saying that she may have gone there while she was on her way to work. But it will later come out at trial that Stephanie was actually working about 20 miles away from the hospital where Sherry worked. So it wouldn't be on her way. It would have been very much out of her way. And if she drove out of her way to confront another woman, I tend to think that would be something that would stand out in her mind, right?
And you're saying when you went to see her, would you remember if it was at her house or at the place she worked at?
No, I'm thinking that it was probably, for some reason I want to say that the hospital seemed that, you know, if you say he got married in 85 or something, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe the hospital was on my way to work in Hollywood. I mean, that's kind of sounding familiar.
So you would have gone, if it was en route to work, you more than likely you would have gone to her work and had this discussion with her?
I mean, that's sounding familiar. Uh-huh. I mean, that's, now that you guys are bringing this stuff up, I mean, that sounds familiar. But again, I mean, what's this got to do with me dating him? And her getting killed. I mean, I don't have anything to do with it. And
well, like we said, we just literally got this the other day, and you're going through it.
Yeah.
And you see,
your name. It's next door.
Right. And so, you know, I mean, obviously, it's like we recognize the name, and we know that, you know, you work next door to us. And so we're trying to get some background. We're trying to figure this out. I mean, this is from a long time ago.
Oh, I know.
And you know, and things have been kind of slow for us. And so, you know, Chief Beck has said, hey, you know, I want you guys working. I don't want you just sitting around reading the paper.
Yeah.
So he's kind of pushing some older cases out, even to the guys that work active cases, because, you know, and so we see this and we're just like, oh, well, you know, we want to talk to you about it. But of course, the only reason we did it here is because we're getting into some pretty personal stuff in your relationship.
It. You know, my husband's on the job, and we've been married.
You know, we don't want to take the risk. We don't want to take the risk when one of those interview rooms, even with the door closed, someone's going to get supplies and see us on a monitor or hears or whatever.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, I appreciate it. Like I said,
that's where people go when there's orals. You know, when they're doing orals, guys will go in there and try and watch. And what are the answers to the questions? You know,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we just want to afford you the most privacy and confidentiality we could.
No, I appreciate it. Like I said, I mean, this goes way back, and I mean, it was very sad. You know, obviously.
Did he tell you what happened? Like what he heard from the detectives or the police, or?
For some reason, I'm thinking that, I mean, again, this is like, it's been so long. He could have told me the whole story of what happened. And I mean, like I said, I'm faintly remember even between him or the flyer that there was some kind of a burglary.
Let me ask you, did the detectives ever reach out to you?
No one's ever talked to me. I don't think anybody ever talked to me about him.
It seems like
I'm thinking that I did talk to a detective. You know, I'm thinking that I did speak to somebody.
Oh, really?
Okay. I couldn't tell you who it was.
Because it doesn't
say
anything.
It was probably on the phone.
Would it have been somebody in regards to this, or just?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't even know if you said a name, if I would remember it. Because I worked Van Nuys for a while.
But you do remember that someone you think reached out to you?
You mean a detective?
Yeah, called you up and talked to you.
Or I called them, one of the two.
Let me get back to as far as when you said that John was calling you to see you. And during that time you felt that he was either seeing her, was he engaged or married? Did you know?
Couldn't say.
Do you remember?
I don't know.
Would you ever?
Well, my husband...
Did it ever appear?
Well, no, that would have been, Scott moved in 93, so that would have been, you said 86 or 85 or something.
Scott's your only husband? You've never been married?
No, never been married. I got married in, I think, 96. I got married in 96, but he moved in 93.
Mm-hmm. During that time that you were seeing John, you know, was he acting kind of, you know, kind of squirrely or kind of sneaking around when he'd hook up with you or anything like that? To make you think, hey,
it probably was. I mean,
because from the impression I get is you've known him a long time, so you know him well during that period of time.
Yeah, I mean, was he acting squirrely? You know, I don't even remember where he was living then.
Because I know you went to talk to her at the hospital regarding this issue with John, to, you know, kind of like, hey, you know, what's going to happen here with this thing? But would this ever have followed up to her house when you went to talk to her to say, hey, you know what?
I don't even know that I knew where they lived. That's what I'm saying. I don't, if I knew where they lived and I'd been there, if it was for something social, and I can't see how many times I saw her face to face. You know, he lived on Roscoe. Did I ever see her there? I don't know.
But you didn't have any issues with her, right?
No. Obviously, if he was dating me and dating her, I probably said, hey, pick or something, you know.
Fair.
You know, back
that's
then,
fair.
I can't say that we ever screamed or, yeah, you know, it's, I mean, he was a pretty mellow guy. I think I was pretty mellow. I don't think we had some big, huge blow up to say, you know, why we stopped dating or, you know, and I even think that when I was dating him, I was probably, like I said, I was probably going out with other guys and he was probably going out with other girls.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, would you remember if she snapped on you and just like, hey man, it's my man, you know, you get it, leave him alone, you know, blah blah blah, that kind of stuff? I mean, would you remember an incident like that? I mean, because that would be like, what?
Well, you know, and maybe that happened. I mean, it's been so long ago. I mean that's not ringing a bell. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, one of the concerns I had is looking at some of the notes is some of Sherry's friends said that you and her were having a problem because of the John situation.
Well, number one, I don't know who her friends are. Because, again, I don't recall if he did tell me where he met her. I don't know even who these friends are. A problem, like I said, if I spoke to her, I mean, I'll go on as far and as a limb, and I don't even want to say I spoke to her five times because that's probably not even true. I can't even remember.
Well, that's what I'm reading is that you guys have problems with each other and words are being exchanged, and it's all relating to John.
You know what? I can't say.
You can't say?
No, that doesn't even ring a bell. So, I mean,
it seemed like, yeah, you would recall something if somebody's going off on you, right?
I would think.
Yeah, because it's...
But that, I, you know...
But it seems like your relationship with John was kind of... I mean, you've known each other for a lot of years.
Yeah, it was just kind of, it was like...
But it didn't seem to me, from what you tell me...
I mean, we were never engaged. I mean,
right.
It wasn't like we were planning to get married. You know, it was like, it was, I don't know how to describe it. I mean...
Would you say there wasn't a lot of drama in this relationship?
Oh, no, I don't think there was drama.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I mean...
That's why I'm asking, as far as what the friends are saying in regards to this, you know, the problems that they're saying you were having with Sherry. I mean, it seems like the relationship is just going on even... Plane.
That just I don't have a recollection of that at all.
No. And because from what you're telling me is when you guys met at the hospital, I mean you guys talked, but it wasn't, from what you recall, confrontational.
I don't think so.
From either side.
No, I mean, I'm trying to turn my memory back, and I'm trying. I can't even picture the, picture the conversation. I mean, I can't even picture the conversation.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, at the hospital, it never got to the point where people were going, hey, you know, everybody go to your own corner type of thing?
I don't think so.
Nothing like that?
I don't think so.
An additional piece of evidence the detectives had uncovered thus far was the fact that the bullets that had been used in the murder matched the same type of bullets that LAPD officers used back in 1986. And just weeks after Sherry's murder, Stephanie had walked into the Santa Monica Police Department and reported that her car had been broken into and that her personal gun, a .38 caliber, had been stolen. Coincidence?
Well, tell me about this the car getting broken into.
Well, my car had been broken into several times.
Oh, really? Did you ever lose anything? Or?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, let's see. I had a gun that was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
I had other stuff that was stolen.
Not your duty gun, was it?
No.
Oh, that's good. Was it ever recovered?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Not that I know of.
Never been notified?
No. Car's been broken into, several times.
Where did that happen when your gun was taken?
I'm trying to remember. I'm sure you guys must know. Because my car was broken into in Ventura. I think in Santa Monica. I have relatives that live in Santa Monica and Venice.
Who lives there?
My uncle. Well, I had several uncles. Yeah, could have been Santa Monica, Venice. My car's been broken into in Ventura before.
I'm going to end part one right here. In part two of this episode, we'll finish this interrogation with the detectives turning up the heat. And then we'll go into the trial and the conclusion of this case. So, what do you guys think so far? Is Stephanie guilty of murdering her former lover's new wife? Is she lying about the confrontation they had? Let me know by tweeting me at Court Junkie Pod or join my Facebook group by searching Court Junkie Discussion on Facebook. And as always, please leave a review if you like the show. Thanks.